All right, let's call the regular Board of Education meeting to order. Mr. Kenwood, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
My pleasure, Mr. President. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Stecker, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Elway?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Mrs. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Howard?
Here.
Solis?
Here.
Here. At this time, we have public participation. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board? Seeing none, the next order of business is the board has determined that it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Mr.
Ellis?
Yeah.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Yes. Okay. To everyone, we did have a slightly revised agenda in terms of the consent agenda that the published action items had stated a resolution authorizing the dismissal slash reduction in hours. That should read just dismissal of educational support personnel. But next up is presentations, reports, and initiative updates.
Well, we have a special presentation this evening. Last year, we did a demonstration and presentation for smart board use. And this this evening, we saw a lot of students coming in here. So I'm anticipating we're going to have some students. But Mike and Christina Callum and teachers and students from our schools will be here this evening to give you kind of where we are with smart board use in the district. So welcome students and visitors, and we'll let you all get in the room before Mike gets started.
Smart boards throughout the district. We were going to put in an equal amount across the buildings, so we had finally put in 21 this coming year. Previous to that, we had 11, and the 11 that we had were just kind of also distributed throughout the district, but those were just to see whether or not the technology is going to work, whether it fits with our curriculum. The determination was it did, so we decided to pilot 21 more boards, which we have done this year. We had four also that were added in the LLCs at the grade schools. There's also plans to put one at the junior high in the LLC. And we also included two boards to support the MIP and the GIP programs at Ben Franklin. So that brought us to a total of 38 boards. That's what we currently have in the district. And we also have two here, but there are 38 that are out in the buildings used for instruction. So with these 38 boards, we have 38 teachers that were also part of the pilot. And user groups were formed to sort of the support for each other, share ideas, talk about lesson plans that they had done, share the lesson plans, and Christina has worked with them through the course of the year on that. This is also technology that's widely used. A lot of districts have already adopted smart boards or smart board interactive touch board technology, so a lot of our neighboring districts have already done substantial implementations like Lombard, District 89, he also has a great number of smart boards. So tonight really is intended as more of a demonstration to show what we've done and some of the outcomes of this pilot. So I'm going to let Christina take over and We'll see how the board's been working for us this year.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see you again. Before we get started with our wonderful students who've come here to show you how they feel about the Smart Board, I just wanted to make a connection with a couple of things. The long-range plan, which has just been updated, has a lot of terminology around 21st century learning skills. And what I did is I just grabbed some words to kind of describe what that means. And the long-range plan talks about those skills, not just in terms of what we hope our students gain, but also a way that we challenge our teachers also to become 21st century educators. And that's part of what the Smart Board does, is it's a way for us to assist our teachers to grow in their use of technology and their teaching around these same kind of concepts, which also describe the learner characteristics that you all have developed for our district. So again, we see the same kind of words describing the skills that we hope our students gain and also the skills that we want our teachers to have. The Smart Board is really just one tool out of a whole group of tools that we made available to our teachers and students. We've got laptops, desktops, some touches are in the district, some iPads are coming into our district. So we hope to really offer a variety of tools to teachers and students so they can really pick the best tool for the type of successes that they want to have in the classroom. So this is one part of a whole group of things. And the teachers and students are here to basically show you how they use it in the classroom and discuss their feelings about this technology as it applies to their learning. So I'm going to go ahead and have Dawn Bredfeld begin. She is a third grade teacher from Abraham Lincoln. Second. Oh, I raised her a grade. I'm sorry.
I used to do third for some reason. I'm Dawn Bredfeld, as Christine said. I teach second grade, and I'm primarily responsible for math, science, and social studies education. I brought with me Robert.
I'm Tom Lucina.
And he's a second grader in my class who's very proficient at use of the Smart Board. He at times teaches me things about it. For me, the Smart Board has revolutionized the way that I teach. I've been doing guided math for 2 years now as part of the district initiative, and I've made one of the centers the Smart Board, and it's effectively doubled my instructional time because I see the students with me for their group, and then they go to the Smart Board to do a review and reinforcement of the lesson that I just taught. So it has, in essence, doubled the amount of teaching time that they get. I've also used it for whole group and small group. It's really just a great teaching tool, and I'm going to let Robert share some of his favorite reasons why he likes the Smart Board.
I'm Academy because it makes lessons more interesting. And the best part about having a Smart Board is you don't have to look at the computer. You go back to the class and sitting next to perfect. And one of my favorite activities is one of our math ones. It's Introduction to Decimals.
And Robert's going to show you some of these files that we talked about. And Robert is part of an enrichment group in second grade, so some of the material we'll be seeing is a little bit above the average second grade. So you want to open up the introduction section. This is one that we did as a whole class when we were working on introducing decimals. As you can see, it has the model, so it fills in, so they're seeing, and they can drag them around and write them. Some of your work there next to it as they're going through it. There's some where they can fill in or they can write the decimal next to it.
Yeah, the pen is different on this
one. So this was one that I did as a whole group. Another one that's a good one. This one has a lot of different aspects of the Smart software in it. So this is one where they worked on after they had a lesson with me on prime and composite numbers, and this was something that they did on their own. to reinforce their learning. This is something they did with their group. Can you show how you can find the primary composite number of it?
You can just say innocence or next.
So it's called the magic eraser because it shows. Can you show me another one? And what's nice for me with this is they're doing it on their own, and then I have them save their work when they're done, so after the lesson I can go back and check to see if they had understanding, if I'm busy with the group and I'm not seeing what they're doing. This is a favorite of each student, the vortex we're going to demonstrate. The answer is correct, it gets sucked into the vortex. So a lot of the slides, a lot of the activities are self-checking like that, where the students realize right away that they got it wrong. Why don't you tell them about that tennis ball you're holding? That was a good opportunity for them. Yeah, why do we have the tennis ball? That's my motor skills of all students. They're not equal, and we've had some trouble with. So the tennis ball is a great tool. We learned that in one of the smart user groups with Ms. Kellen.
I'm not even going to check it.
Throw it.
And more on the teaching side of it, Robert wanted me also to show you, this is a great, there's so many teaching tools as well. This is the random group generator. So if you're teaching and you all of a sudden want to put your kids in a couple of groups, you have the kids' names already put in there. This is a tool right out of the gallery. So if I want five groups, this is my classroom up here. Generate, and I've got five groups. And you're able to manipulate it, you know, say you don't want someone so together, you can move it around real quickly.
So you don't need six or.
Yep, it's all done right there. You can change the number of groups.
So you see somebody who shouldn't be together. Oops, so
yeah.
Trigger group.
Excellent.
Do you want to close out of this for the next
group? Okay. Right. Thank you. Ms. Redfield, before you we move on, there are certainly, it was wonderful to have Robert explain and demonstrate. There are a lot more students in the group with you. Did they come as a support team? Oh, you're using Cookie. Okay.
Can I ask a question, or
do you
want to solicit an answer? Well, I was wondering, Robert, do you have an iPad at home, or do you have something at home that you know how to do the touching with the screen?
Yes.
Makes it a little...
Right here?
We videotaped his presentation.
Okay.
So his mom can see it
and
go home.
Ah, okay. But does it make it easier for you to learn these things that way, on the smart board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next presenter is Ms. McCarthy, class 6th grade, language arts and hybrid.
Now we have the whole class. Okay.
I have all the circuit.
Good evening. I'm Mrs. McArdle, and I have 6th grade literacy at Hadley. And I thought one of the best ways to show the implementation and the benefits of learning the uses of the smart board is to have the students show you. So they have put together a map of information to show you in a small amount of time. And they are going to introduce themselves first so that you know who is here.
My name is Taylor Spencer.
My name is Max Hossenmeyer.
My name is Cassie Berger.
My name is R.L. Moe.
My name is Claudia Jacket.
My name is Colin Tarsha.
My name is Rebecca Crow.
My name is Rosie Gender.
Okay, Colin and Taylor are here to show how PowerPoints are easier to use on the smart board rather than the computer.
This is my PowerPoint on the Titanic, and if we didn't have a smart board in our class, then Mrs. McCardle would have to click it, click to change the slides from the computer. Now that we do, I can call Mrs. McCardle Lazy. Smart board teaches us better presentation skills.
Why the smart board is useful and helps students learn easier. The next is
I'm Sydney, and I'm going to be showing you. I'm going to be showing you how you can pull up a. You can pull the screen down, and one thing we did in our classroom was she pulled it like this, and she made us infer, like she told us to infer what it was going to be about. And a lot of us thought it was going to be about how, like, bug bites, where the bug bites you. But if she pulls down the screen, you can tell us about people in other countries eating bugs. And another thing about that's good about the smart board is that you can just click it there and you can pick out any of these different gadgets. And right now, the highlighter is the continuing. Because you can highlight many different things like the text features or captions, and you just have to do it through computer, stuff like that, and like the text features. So, and some people like to get ahead. So, if she wanted to be, if she only wanted us to copy down this paragraph, if she only wanted to have us copy down this paragraph. Some people I know like to get ahead, and if she just leaves it open, some people will get ahead and they might do the wrong thing. So that's why
that's cool.
Okay. So in class every day, we do our DOL, which stands for Daily Oral Language. And it's pretty much like fixing up the grammar mistakes and stuff. And so that you can like use different colors to underline the important mistakes, and you can also highlight. But you can also highlight what went wrong or what's wrong with the sentence. And if you mess something up, you can erase it.
You can also, if you want, you can have,
if you like, write in things. If I forgot a word.
One other thing you can do, like if you wanted to change one thing here and have the class change something else somewhere else, then you could.
One of the features we're hoping to start utilizing is text splitter, which will allow us to manipulate the words and to move different sentences and phrases, but unfortunately we're still working on that feature, so we weren't prepared to show it. It's something we've been doing, and now we found out that Spark Technologies has come up with a way for us to actually do that without just drawing arrows now. So that's one of the things we will be looking at in class, and manipulating their writing and being able to have feedback from the class in our writer's workshops if we have them do that.
And since
Spark
Technologies has instead of having everybody work alone on a sheet of paper and wasting many types of paper, the teacher can put it on the smart board and you can work together and it won't be wasting paper and also everybody would have an opportunity to do something on it, start something.
Right now, Jake is going to Google Earth to show how social studies can be fun instead of just, like, going out of a textbook.
Think about how much more interesting social studies would be with this method. We could see images at a completely different level. We could see videos of ancient civilizations and learn a lot more than without this method. There are maps, charts, graphs, and tables we can see understand things better. Smart boards make learning fun, adding efficient interaction to learning.
And Matt, which feature are you on right now?
Google Earth. And we're going to show you the Colosseum because that's what we're learning about in social studies right now.
Guys are looking at a map, and it seems like it's something that you can keep touching and zooming into different things. Max, how does it help you to think about that? What do you find interesting about it?
Well, it helps us look at the places at a different level, so
it helps. At that level, as if you were there.
And a textbook where you can look at.
And it's like kind of 3D, so you can see the like mountains and like all the geography and stuff.
Do you feel like you're there?
Yeah.
Where are all the blue boxes?
He has no idea.
They're like little
points of interest.
Oh, there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
I was interested in the bean there.
Overall, yeah, beneficial wise, I have found the smart board to help in organizing lessons. It was very time consuming at the beginning, just getting the software uploaded and learning the different information. I was fortunate enough to come to our district with already some previous background with the smart board, and having that type of knowledge really helped in implementing some of the activities that we have done in class. We have definitely looked at using technology and software that we already have on our computers and then putting it on the smart board and seeing how we can implement it, integrate it, and make it more useful so that it's not that we have old software. Now we're using that software on here also. But it definitely has saved time and helped organize. It's also helped meet needs of other students, because if you have a student who would rather have that picture in front of them, we can print this and they can have it in front of them. If we need the, if there's a student that needs the different colors to help stay focused on certain items, we have the different colors that are being used. So that definitely has been beneficial in meeting the needs and the modalities of all the different learners we have in our classroom. That's where I can see the benefit. When we met, these guys were all over the board, sort of like now, but all of them. And a few of them were concerned with, wow, look at how everybody's touching the board. And all they did was take notes, because it was just so fascinating and interesting to see the way they took to the board. I think a lot of times we get concerned with the freakiness, and they're more concerned with, what can we do with it? So it's been very fun to see what we can do with this this year.
Do you think it motivates more students to participate who might not otherwise in the traditional setting?
Yes. And I have students who normally don't speak in class who will raise their hand to get up to that board.
Okay.
And a couple of them are actually up here in front. And this was a very big step for them.
Mm-hmm.
When I met their parents at the beginning of the year, they said they hate doing presentations. And a couple of them are up here now. So that definitely has helped.
How many of you guys had smart boards in your classrooms last year? So see, you had it in your classroom? Did you guys have?
Well, there was classrooms sometimes.
When you did your targeted learning time with the different teachers, but did your actual classroom teacher? Okay, so none of you had a classroom teacher that had one. So this was pretty new to everybody? Okay.
Well, you figured it out.
That would be one of my questions, both to you as the teacher and to the students, thinking a little bit about what we heard at the beginning in the learner characteristics and the creativity as well as discovery in your learning. Seems to me you were doing some discovering tonight while you were sort of experimenting with the Google Map. And so how does that play into the creation of a learning environment for them? And how does it play into you in terms of students being able to discover things that you may have before been told by a teacher how to do?
For myself, personally, what I like is when I think of the traditional blackboard, whiteboard, first of all, the lessons I want to be this interactive, but I also think of the saving of the lessons. This is now something that I could save right where it's at and pick up and go, hey, look at what some other classes found, and adapting it to later lessons. So that's definitely where I see a benefit in sharing with the other classrooms. As in myself, when some of the information has happened, there are some other students in my class who have some smart board knowledge, and they have shown us some really cool things, especially when I've gotten in a pickle and wasn't sure where the toolbar went. No, it's right here. And they pushed up. That, I think, shows a common respect between the teacher and the student. And they don't feel that there is that teacher-student difference. We're learning together. And they're then not afraid to take the role that they're taking up here. And I think that's definitely that empowering that they get and feeling comfortable and standing in front of you all.
Mm-hmm.
And you all, when I kind of look silly up there, I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Well, it's nice to have the smart board because it's kind of like if the teacher gets stuck, then, like, if Mrs. McArdle were to get stuck, then if we went and helped her, then it would help us grow in our knowledge more. Then, whereas if it was something other than, like, most kids know
a little bit more about technology than
how polite.
It was very diplomatic.
Yeah, very nice. It can kind of help the teachers that are newer to this, mm-hmm. so we can prosper and stay.
I want to know how many of you have a touch phone, touch pad, touch something.
Okay. Used to touching.
So if you were asked to put a presentation together for your parents, say for parent orientation for 7th grade, which you're all going into next year, right? Do you feel like you could do that pretty easily if you had to do a presentation on smart boards for your parents so they would better understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Sign them up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rebecca, for taking her birthday time to spend.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
My daughter's birthday.
Is it? Yeah. Usually, when we do have these
mounted,
they're a little
taller. Yeah.
And the toolbars are customizable so they can be lower, so they're more accessible.
Just a quick question for the teachers. I noticed in the math worksheet, or however you want to put it up there, at the very first page was some teacher's name from Florida or whatever, and I assume that's where the template came from. So are the templates kind of just out there on the web and you can search and find them, or do we get any from our curriculum providers?
There's a site called the Smart Board Exchange, and it houses, anyone can submit and upload files to there. I use that primarily. I download them. I have the ability to edit them if I'd like to, but as you notice, you put your information on the first page. With the gallery software, too, you can create your own files, but like the generator that I showed you, mm-hmm. you can create the vortex, you can create the mix and match, there's dice, there's calculators, every tool you could want, there's a compass, you name it, is in there. So you can create it and then upload it to the Smart Exchange so that other teachers can benefit from your knowledge as well. I like to take and use and modify instead of reinventing the wheel. Mm-hmm. A lot out there, and you can go on from your home, even if you don't have the Smart Notebook software, you can go on to the Smart Exchange and click on preview, and you'll be able to see the whole file without actually using it. You don't need the Smart software, so you can get a preview from home.
So could a parent go on, so a parent could go on Smart Exchange and kind of look at what you guys are doing? Can you work on it on your own computers? Could it be a tool that you could suggest to a parent, hey, like we have with EDM or Everyday Math? Go to the EDM site and play. Could you do that with this as well?
I don't think you can interact with it, but I was just talking to Christina before about the new Smart Notebook Express.
The Smart Exchange has lessons that are posted by everyone who has a smart board. So you wouldn't necessarily be able to determine which lessons are ones that are used with your system 41. There is a version of the Smart Notebook software that's kind of like a student version. I know it's used in Glenbark West for students to be able to work with smart software at home. It's not something that we've really explored at this point, is whether that's something that we want to make available to parents or for students. Yet.
I have a question as a parent. What kind of training do they give the teachers? Because I'm not worried about the kids. I'm worried about the teachers learning about smart boards.
A couple of classes, formal classes, that the teachers go through when they first get a smart board. As Mike mentioned, we have user group meetings that meet once a month where teachers have an opportunity to share the things that they learned about the smart board, any special lessons that they have, any tips that they have. There are classes that are available through other sources that teachers go through. I know Mrs. Bredfeld went to one or two over the summer, right? Also, I'm available to assist teachers one-on-one or in a team or group format as well.
And the vendor that we use for installation also provides free training through their own resource through their office.
And we also use Institute Daytime to be able to work with all staff around the use of various technologies.
Karen, didn't we last year when we were looking at the social studies, the rollout of the social studies, wasn't the smart board technology a piece of that curriculum?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. A lot more of the textbook companies are moving towards having that smart board.
Yeah, the TCI software, the online version, has its own. It's designed to integrate in with a smart board or a touch panel, and they have their own tools to use with it as well.
And I'm just wondering
questions. But I'm just thinking, you know, we have so many families have the iPads or, you know, notebooks that have the touch technology, and I'm just wondering how much of these things can be downloaded from home. I mean, I know it's just from a touch screen perspective to be able to practice, study, you know, utilize this technology at home.
The smart technology. You can use a mouse, too, with the same choosing what you want from the toolbars and stuff.
That requires somebody like a parent to actually have that now. but I, you know, it's all, it just seems so, the touch technology that the kids could be able to utilize some of these things at home with so many technology things that they have.
And I think as we start to develop more of these lessons that use the smart software, we have a collection of them, we can look at ways to distribute those or make those available. And see just how user friendly that is.
We could check it.
Gone quite down that road just yet.
Very cool.
Just as a parent, I think it's almost imperative that these are in the classrooms, at least for the older kids, because this is how they learn. And every day, everything. You know, we always get grief about how kids are so, like, entertaining. Well, that's just the fact of life. And that's hard for the learning. And that's what they need. It's so important, and I feel like we need to be, you know, up to speed with everybody else to be competitive. You know, we bring in these movies about the road to nowhere or whatever. Well, this is who we have, and this is what we need. So there's a lot of other things the district can do about.
The board has been very supportive of long-range technology plan, and Mike and Christina and the rest of the technology team have developed a long-range plan that includes a fairly aggressive approach to purchasing new technologies for our students over the course of the next 5 years, and creating what we call a one-to-one access for students, not meaning that every child would have the same piece of technology every day, all day, but that a variety of technologies can be used every day, all day, on a one-to-one basis, and that is our goal that we believe we'll achieve at least within 5 years, but we think even sooner, probably within 3 years.
Yeah, in the last two board meetings ago, you did the presentation, Mike, and so that's on our website, too, so you can go in and see, you know, what that plan is, so you can see how we're kind of looking to roll out, so it's a great comment. And I guess I just had one quick observation. I think we need to change some of the vernacular because we keep, and I understand it's because we started this like 5 years ago, so more in like 2005 range, and so we were saying to become 21st century learners, become 21st century educators. And I think we need to say to be, because that's where we are. We're 11 years into this century, and so we're at that point now where we're not becoming, we're being. And I think that speaks to certainly what we saw tonight and really the mindset of our long-range plan as well. So really impressive, guys. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. So we'll take a few minutes here from our next agenda item if anyone wants to go home. You don't need to stay for the rest of our business.
Well, we welcome you to stay.
Thank you, guys. Maybe you should get that for the bank.
Yeah, you
the app is doing a good job on their loan origination and all that, and they go into the vortex.
Just looking.
That was great.
Okay. The next item, action items, is the consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none, we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, which includes the Human Resources Personnel Report with employment recommendations, internal transfers, resignations, continued employment and dismissal of educational support staff, and resolution authorizing dismissal of educational support personnel. Within finance, facilities, and operations, we also have the Treasurer's Report, Investment Schedule, Monthly Revenue Expenditure Summary Report, the Summary of Bills and Payroll, the School District Voucher Payment Order, the Vandalism and Damage Report, Disposal of Surplus Property, and 2010-11 FOIA Report. And finally, we have the board meeting minutes of the April 4th 2011 regular meeting, the April 11, 2011 special meeting and closed session. We also have the case board meeting action items, and finally the 2010-11 final school calendar.
Motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, next up are superintendent's recommendations. First, we have the 2011-12 copier paper bid results. At its April 4th, 2011 regular meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to approve the copier bid from Unisource in the amount of $29.50 per case. Based on delivery of 1,824 cases spread out over 12 months, the total cost will be $53,808. This pricing will be effective for the 2011-12 fiscal year, which runs from July 2011 through June 2012. I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Second, we have the smart board rollout. At its April 4th, 2011 board meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to approve the purchase of smart board hardware, materials, and installation from Chicago Office Technology Group. The administration further recommends acquiring the hardware and materials with a five-year dollar buyout lease through American Capital. Labor costs will be paid at the satisfactory completion of work with a single payment from the 2011-12 budgeted dollars in the amount of $12,600. The total cost of hardware and materials is $106,524. The annual payment for hardware and materials with a five-year dollar buyout will be $23,130.58. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes. Third, we have the intergovernmental agreement with Marquardt School District 15 Food Services. At its April 4th, 2011 meeting, the board discussed the administration's proposal to establish an intergovernmental agreement with Marquardt School District 15 around food service, which will allow it to join the National School Lunch Program. District 15 has an in-house food service program which currently provides food services for districts 15 and 16 and has the capacity to provide food services for an additional district the size of District 41. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation to approve the intergovernmental agreement with Marquardt School District 15 as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I just want to thank Bob and Phyllis for answering all my questions. Appreciate you putting up with them. The one thing I just want to be clear on, because, and I had to go back and listen to the minutes, there was a lot of discussion about D15 doing the administration, and
that's,
it's
a
really
program.
Kind of fuzzy with me still, because when I read the agreement, it says D41 is responsible for all of the filing, for all of that paperwork, mm-hmm. And it was...
They lend us the expertise of having the knowledge of the National Lunch Program. We have to help us set up our program with the National Lunch Program. So we are not needing to start from scratch because they are already an established entity. So they'll offer us the expertise, but in terms of the data collection and the monitoring of the lunch program, that would be our responsibility, which we do now. So expanded in the sense that we expect we'll have more students, but not having to have gone through all of the requirements and the training and the expertise that is associated with being the kind of the entity around which the lunch program is umbrellaed. So they're still the umbrella of the program. We are a member district now for the National Lunch Program if we join this cooperative.
And if we all
We already received applications for various parents for admission to the free program. So Mary Lou in my department oversees that. This will just be an expansion for responsibility. We don't anticipate ever adding any additional staff or anything along those lines, just as a result of receiving additional applications for free, later reduced, as well as the filing of monthly claims. So that would just be, we would absorb those responsibilities in my department.
That's why I just wanted to make sure. And then just a quick question on the reduce. What, you know, so I guess like a paid student pays, what, $2 or $3.50 at Hadley today? What does a reduced student pay?
It's a portion, some portion thereof, and it's adjusted annually dependent upon what the federal government allows us to offer free to reduced meals at.
It's usually a significant reduction, maybe 90 cents.
Because I was familiar with what they would get reimbursed. I just didn't know what they charge.
Mm-hmm. One question on the spreadsheet, Bob, that you got to us in response to Dan's question. We've got zero meals per day under the NSLP reduced and paid. This is 2012-13. Is that because all those meals are, we're not really serving any NSLP reduced, we're all serving free lunches?
I'm just, do board members have a copy of that spreadsheet?
I gave it to the people.
Fine. Oh, this was just finance. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, there's a couple zeros on there on meals per day, and I'm just wondering what the story is on this.
That's a result of not having that program in place this fiscal year.
Okay. So
they're just leaving it out when they do the estimation.
We want to guard on the side of being conservative on our revenue estimates.
Right. So it's a, yeah, it's a conservative estimate. You will have some. Or can you not roll out the reduce until the elementary?
Until the elementary, you get it.
Right. So you can't do any reduce this year, but the following year, once you roll it out to elementary, then you can start doing it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 12-13 one, and there's a couple of zeros on there. So, I mean, I understand that we're short changing the revenue side of our projection.
Yes, there, we are. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Yeah, just a quick question. If District 15 at some point decides that they don't want to continue being the administrator or whatever the language is, as a member, do we then are we then able to continue on?
Who got to bid?
Got to bid for it. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't see, that was just the one thing I didn't see in the contract was the typical 30, 60 day notice or anything. It just says it's through this date.
Mm-hmm. In terms of an escape clause.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, but they can't just call
somebody. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see that being an issue. They've been a part of this for a while, and they certainly have a population that uses this like we will. Thank you, Bob.
All right, roll call, please.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr.
Pendrick? Yes. Okay, next up, the superintendent's report.
I'm going to be very brief. I just wanted to give you two quick updates. One is you've heard me mention 21st Century Classrooms part as a connection to our master facilities work and examining how we're going to move forward with some of those attributes of a 21st Century Classroom without a huge facilities change. And so we've been working, Karen and Bob have been working together, and we worked with our principals last week to look at how we might set up some model classrooms within the district for a 21st century classroom look, and hoping to do two classrooms at each of our elementary buildings, beginning with furniture that might be more representative of 21st century classroom, but certainly that's not the whole picture. We'll begin looking also at efficiencies, whether it's in lighting or how we bring light into the room and shade light, and also paint and then flooring. over the next several years, but something we can do within our budget. I know one of the questions that Bob Solak asked in our last meeting was, is that mean if I have a classroom like this one year, then the next room, do I go back to a very traditional? We're seeing that all of our classrooms are really beginning to change what the environment looks like. This just gives us a way of looking at different types of looks to a classroom of the future that we may be then better prepared when we're ready to do a more massive facility change. Mm-hmm. The second thing I wanted to let you know is that I met today, Bob and I met today with Mr. Alan Krakauer of Krakauer and Associates, and who is suggested to work with us to look at land availability throughout the District 41. And we concluded our meeting today with a list of tasks that we would each do and then reconvene and meet in a very short period of time to look at, get some maps created, look at what we can get, information that we can gather from sources already available to us just by pulling them together. We'll then share that. He intends to work with us kind of hand in hand in looking around the district, and rather than he just going out and doing the work and telling us, but incorporate us as part of his team. So we're very excited. It was a great meeting, and we'll probably be meeting again with him in a couple weeks.
Okay, next up are board reports. To start off, I just wanted to remind everyone with the new board being seated, the next full meeting, we still, you know, we have a new policy about sending in a,
statement of interest.
Statement of interest in board offices, I guess, and
Those go to Ann, and they really should. I think the policy says 2 weeks prior to the meeting, the reorganization meeting, that would mean tomorrow. Oh, 1 week. Okay, so by next Monday, next Tuesday morning, if you have interest, if you send me a statement of interest, then I will make sure I get those out to all of you. And it does not need to be a dissertation, I think, based on your conversations with one another, just a statement of why, which position you are interested in and why.
Okay. $15 late fee if it comes in.
It won't make the Thursday letter.
Gary.
I attended the recent Franklin PTA meeting last Thursday. Actually, it was kind of neat since I've got a fifth grader. They had the first half hour was devoted to Q&A with sixth graders fielding questions from fifth graders about what Hadley's like. So that was pretty neat. I copied down some notes. They said the lunch food is all pretty good. So that was nice. They said they're not allowed to use long division and long multiplication, which I thought was weird. I didn't know what that meant. But anyway, and then there were lots of questions about the bus and what that whole experience was like. So, and the description of some type of gauntlet game where sixth graders try to run back, touch the back glass, and get back to their seat before they get pummeled by eighth graders. So that was all fun stuff. And then the PTA meeting was election of their officers next year, and kind of a recap of you know, the year and how things went. So.
Did they give you a goodbye party or goodbye?
No, yeah, it was good riddance party. No, and then I invited them all to come on May 2nd to welcome Sam Black to the board and congratulate the three returning members. So. Anyway, it was actually a pretty short meeting. Like I said, the long part was the Q&A. I wish I brought my fifth grader.
You know, they've done that the last 2 years. Or second year that they've done it. They did it last year. It'd be interesting. I don't know if the other schools.
Forest Glen is doing it this year.
And it's nice for parents, too, because, you know, new Hadley parents are not really sure what to make of it. And, you know, the sixth graders kind of feel really cool coming back and giving that little speech. And I think, it's just perspective, but it's a nice feature. I wish it'd be nice to all the schools. Maybe something that whoever goes to PTA Council could bring up as a, you know, point of interest that maybe do in the future. I was at LLC this month, and two things, and Maureen, I have to get you the report, but there was some discussion about our physical education being part of the curriculum review cycle, so I know that's going to be examined at LLT. And then we broke up into our small groups and went through the long-range plan, and kind of put it with learner characteristics. And it was really interesting because that was the first time, or I mean, sort of, first time the overwhelming majority of LLT members had actually, you know, seen the new version of it. And I happened to be in a group with some veteran teachers who were very enthusiastic about taking it on. I mean, you know, and taking it on because it's extremely aggressive's not the right word, but ambitious. Thank you, Julie. An ambitious plan, and you know, yet that fear of how are we going to get there? Because at LLT, it's, you know, it's a group of it's a group of go-getters. I mean, this is a group, and that's all of our staff is, but very vocal about how do we get there? We want to do it now. How can we implement it? I mean, scared, but anxious and you know, excited about it. So it was a really interesting and fruitful discussion about how do we make this happen, and how do we as teachers. And the interesting thing, again, for me, sitting with a lot of veteran teachers was, they already do some of those severity. Well, we already do that, but it looks like this. And how do we, you know, that learner characteristic. So it was, you know, a really interesting discussion. And they're, you know, really looking forward to how do we get there, okay? And actually came up with a lot of really good questions to try to understand, well, how could we do this, or what would this look like? And about how do we assess it? How do we know the kids are getting it outside of the anecdotal? So, you know, how do we measure?
I attended PTA Council, Executive Council this morning. And there they led off with a presentation from the District 87 Assistant Superintendent, Hector Garcia. And he spoke about some of their upcoming core curriculum changes, as well as their summer school offerings they are looking at, which also include enrichment for middle schoolers. So that was a very good presentation there. They also had some awards and recognition. I talked about their last Silent Supper, which I don't know if I get invited to that. And then they also talked about a PTA School of Information session the morning of May 11th.
It's an educational program from District 36, which oversees our PTA along with 69 others. And so it's just a way to ramp people up before the summertime, so you can just do some planning. And
then finish with building reports, and then I had to take off. Well, probably wasn't anything else. Just one other thing, I just remembered, I received something in the mail about, maybe you guys got copies, that I'm the IASB rep.
That's right.
I thought it was me. I think the president will re-select the delegates, which is usually the new guy. But anyway, so then also, if there's any resolutions, I guess those need to get started fairly soon if the board is interested in raising them.
Right.
You know, Dan, I did think one more thing that they talked about at PTA Council, and that is that the Race to Nowhere film will be, is jointly held by all of the PTAs, and any money earned from the profits of that filming next week will be used toward the PTA scholarship that is given each year to two students. Or this year it will be two students at Lombard West who are going into the career of education.
Any other board reports? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to discussion items. First up is the copy machine RFP results.
This is sort of an annual thing that we do to look at new copy, our lease with our copiers, to make sure that we are getting the best bang for our buck. And this year it is a new vendor that is being recommended. And Bob is here. If you have any questions for him, he can answer them for you.
It is Chicago Office Technology. They are new to presenting a bid to us for copiers, I should say. They're the new recommendation. Mike has used COTP previously for
smart board.
We're experienced with this vendor and have a great relationship with them.
Well, it's nice to see that there's over $20,000 in savings mm-hmm. over the current contract. It's a little bit of a no-brainer. Although when I read the amount of pages per year, and then tonight when they talked about being able to, you know, minimize some of that, you know, paper, that would be great.
It's part of our long-range plan.
I know it is.
Okay, any other questions for Bob? Okay, next up is the transportation bid results.
The transportation bid, as you know, we sent this out this year as a consortia bid. Four districts, Bob led this initiative to invite all of the other Glenbard feeder districts to join him. Four districts chose to participate in this consortia. District 89, District 41, 16, and 87. And so we went out as a whole as opposed to individuals, and a new bus company did come up as the lowest bidder. That's Illinois. I never say the name right.
Central.
Illinois Central is the low bidder on this. That is a new vendor, and one thing to note is that they do have a guarantee in their contract that they will develop a site within 10 miles of all of the districts that are being served. And I would also note that each district will have its own agreement as opposed to a total consortia agreement. Over the course of 3 years?
Yeah,
$1,285,000 for our district alone.
Yeah, so of the budget surplus we talked about. You could look at them. Sorry. We've got this new transportation as part of those
mm-hmm.
numbers.
That between that and 2% savings from SEPTRAN, we had about $235,000 mm-hmm. in savings this year.
What was our agreement with them for student prices last year?
This is last year's number, and we've had an agreement in place with First Student since at least 2001 with a series of 1 or 2 year rollover contracts. That was the last time we're off the bid for this service.
And what was the yearly cost?
Last year, I believe I budgeted around $900,000, $950,000 in that neighborhood.
And we're seeing
$625,000, $250,000 a year, less than what we were paying this year.
So what happens to the district that got a lower rate by someone else? Are we spreading that out, or?
No, we are each responsible for the amount of dollars that were bid individually, as well as a consortium. So we expect to realize about $2.2 million in savings for the four districts as a whole. And fortunately for us, we received the lion's share of those less dollars to spend of about $1.285 million.
So, I'm not sure I understand this. Why would a district decide to go with a service that was more expensive than another one?
Well, that was the agreement that we were going to enter as a consortium, and we would leave as a consortium.
I think that the overall costs for them are still less than they would be, that they currently are with the vendor, and over the course of the 3 years was an overall cost that was less.
So they were with First Student, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but there were other ones that were even cheaper than the Central.
Just the one, Jen. Right?
For 16. I'm just curious as to why they would say, yeah, we'll join.
No, I wanted the same question.
But if they were to vote against us, let's say they're bored with the vote, it doesn't cause us to lose.
No.
Yeah, so it's not really something we have to worry about. Okay, any other questions? Next up is that Hadley computer refresh.
This is a very, Mike has given you his presentation on the long-range technology plan, of which this is a part. So you've really seen a preview to this in terms of the rollout of providing greater technology to students, beginning with Hadley in a large refresh cycle, both with desktops, but an increased number of laptops and then netbooks, which we will be rolling out so that every department has adequate netbooks for students to have access, that one-to-one access on a daily basis within the department. And so we're very excited about that. It is a three-year lease for those. We would see other new technologies coming forward in the next 3 years that perhaps would replace the netbooks, but this is a way of creating that one-to-one access more closely and also give us a chance to experiment with the new technology in terms of how well it's, how vastly it's used and for what different reasons it's used in the departments. Mike, anything to add to that?
Thanks for digging into that wireless number, the 3250. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Mike? The next up is the employee dental benefit card.
This is representing a change in terms of our how we provide service for our dental insurance. Up till this point, we have been self-funded in our dental program. We are now recommending we move over to EBC, which is our current health provider for the dental program, with long-range benefits in terms of savings on that.
You were trying to get up to a 30,000 reserve, but it looks like it's down to, is it 14 or 7?
7.
And so now that you're changing, do you rebate that back to the employees? Or what happens to that?
Well, I'll let them explain it.
We'll be using it to pay runoff claims for the existing policy.
Yeah, that's common.
That's one of the, when you have an insured plan like we do presently, and we move to another provider, who is responsible for paying those runoff claims? And it would be our responsibility, given the situation that we're currently in. So we would utilize the sort of the bank that we've accumulated over the past couple of years to pay runoff claims.
What does that runoff mean? Like something that carries past the end of the...
Mm-hmm.
Well, services that are provided prior to June 30th. Their bills may not be submitted until July or August, so you would need that run-out period to pay those claims.
Okay, any other questions? Upcoming meetings, we have
the Johnsons and the Courtyard.
Oh. It's not on my script.
Uh-oh. He's going to miss that. next item is the Justin's publication agreement, and that is an annual renewal that we do. As you know, it's a flow through. We charge the students for the cost of that yearbook, and so this was an opportunity to do one more renewal with Justin's, which is a part of our contract.
Okay.
Any questions on that?
And I have the Courtyard bid results.
We have for you, we've had various discussions about the Hadley Courtyard. as you will remember, we took this and broke the bid up into a base bid, which would allow us essentially to do the stormwater work and any repairs associated with minor water along the east edge of the building, as well as put concrete and some pavers in so that there's some spaces to walk, but none of the enhancements that are suggested in the other alternates to that base bid. So we are recommending the full project as opposed to just the base, and part of the reason for that is that should we just do the base and then later add other features in, we will increase our cost significantly simply because of the difficulty of getting into the courtyard to do that work. So we believe that this is a sound project with sound educational value, and we would recommend the whole bid.
Are you seeing any developer donations on this one or not?
We're not recommending that we do.
Is the performance area the amphitheater?
Mm-hmm.
And I know in our last session we talked a little bit about articulating a little more in terms of what the curriculum changes would be.
Well, I don't think you would see curriculum changes. What you're seeing is another environment in which the curriculum can be implemented. We currently in our science classes do plant study and water in water features that are brought into the classroom. So the change there would be that they could actually do it outside rather than creating water environments in plastic pools in the classroom. We currently do performance pieces. This would allow another arena for that. And then, of course, I think, you know, to say that, I think the question was asked to me, will it just be something new and then teachers will stop using it? I will tell you, as someone who's been an educator for many, many years, that teachers are always looking for opportunities to be able to take children outside and change of pace, a change of venue. So I don't know that I could suggest to you that we will alter the curriculum to...
So this is not changing the curriculum and...
It's offering an opportunity to enhance the environment in which the curriculum is delivered.
So it's not improving the curriculum, it is providing another environment to have the same curriculum.
Well, no, I would...
I was asking.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I think that initially that would be the case, yes. We're not going through and going back into our curricula to say, what can we do to alter the curriculum? Remember, the curriculum is really a much broader, conceptually based piece of work, and so the environment enhances the curriculum. The environment may offer opportunities that are not currently in place in any environment, whether it's the way we set up our classrooms or whether we have an enhanced location, which this would be.
I was simply going to say that the inquiry-based model that we have for science, right now they're doing the plant unit, and so the pools are in the classrooms, they're doing their plant growing, they're doing all the measuring and testing of their labs, etc. So I would say that being able to have this would actually enhance some of what we have as inquiry-based, because we can't use, like, take all the kids to Morton and Braden or even to Churchill Woods, because that's an additional cost in transportation and that type of thing. Although we have those venues right in our backyard. So I guess I would see that as potentially enhancing.
Yeah, I think for me, the last time we discussed this, it was about being able to articulate, you know, the value we're getting out of this. And from a curriculum perspective, and I just wanted to make sure I had it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see the numbers now on here. We got all the total, I guess, is now 237 on this.
No, the total. Well, that's if you were to include the professional fees.
All right, so if I want to say how much do I need to cover the whole thing, it would be 237.
That's what the entire project would cost.
And remember that those fees that are under the professional fees, most of those have already been expended in terms of the research and the study required to know what the project would entail.
I'm just still kind of concerned with the usability. I mean, especially when you look at here we are in the middle of April and we just had some snow, and so I wonder, you know, would they still even be able to use it? You know, when do you put the water in to the area? The last day of a frost or a freeze of May 15th. I know there's some extra time in the fall. I just have some concerns with the size of this project and the usability in terms of weather year-round availability. The three classrooms that we talked about in here, would all those three be able to be used at the same time?
They would.
Or it's three separate? So it would be trying to picture with students doing something at the amphitheater, a science class trying to concentrate.
Well, the science class, you know, would probably be hands-on work. You know, you'd have a performance area where students may be delivering presentations, maybe delivering a debate, maybe doing a small performance, and the water feature that may be part of the study, it may be other parts of the actual environment that would be part of the science class would be in a different location.
There's multiple classes in the LLC, 17.
I know, but this is, I don't know how many square feet this is. It's a hard closed area, mm-hmm. So you're going to have professional voices on the bricks.
Well, this is coming to the board on May 2nd, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Dan, but I went over to I see that space all the time because I walk through it, but I didn't actually go out and look at it, so I think it gives perspective to go over and physically see the space, number one. And number two, I did have a chance to talk to two of the science teachers because this issue came up with the water and all that. So I did make an outreach to them, to two of the seventh grade teachers, to get a sense of, you know, usability. So, I mean, we're not teaching, right? We don't know the curriculum like they do. And so if, I think for all of us, when we have concerns like this or questions, maybe it's more that we need to reach out and have them answered by the experts, because they're the ones that can do it.
I visited the space before. I know Drew and I saw it last year when Bob was kind of on the show. So that's part of the, I was having a hard time.
Yeah.
And you know what? And honestly, Dan, it's funny because I think I can understand, you know, you think of, okay, it's a good space and more expense, you know, a nice chunk of change to fix it and to make it a useful space. And what are we really getting for that? I mean, we just use, you know, spending this money to make an area of our building nicer than what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Ben Franklin, on obviously a much smaller scale, and I don't believe it cost it. I mean, it was all money.
It was the Home Depot.
So, I mean, the district didn't expend any money, but it was a space that was unable to be used for forever. I mean, it was never able to be used. And now there are people in there all the time. And while the district didn't have to spend any money on it, I look at it and think, well, there's a space that the kids get to use all the time. They've even gone out there when it's cold to get fresh air or to look at something or observe something, to write a poem. I mean, you know, it sounds kind of trivial, but it's a space that was able to finally be used for something. And when I look at this space, for years, parents have tried to go in and what can we do? What can we make this space better? How can we, you know, improve it? And I mean, even if it's planting a vegetable garden, I mean, for years people have been trying to come up with something. So I look at it as it not only does it improve the space, so it's not, I mean, who would want to spend money just to make something pretty to look at, but it's actually something the kids can use. I don't know if we'll ever be able to quantify how this space is used or quantify, you know, you're not going to put it to a test score, or, you know, how did the teachers use it? I mean, that's our job, to ask those kinds of questions. But I look at it as we sit here year in and year out, talk about portables, trying to find space for the kids to learn, talk about what does a 21st century classroom look like. I think this is what a 21st, this is another area for a 21st century classroom. Mm-hmm. It's another area of a building that our students can go and use to do hands-on, teachers send them out. I mean, I think it's, you know, what it can be used for is endless. But and I understand the hesitation about spending the money when we can't quantify. And I think sometimes we as a board, if we can't find something to quantify, then we struggle with how do we say, okay, let's spend the money. For me, this is something we will probably never be able to quantify, but I think we're going to see the value. Immediately.
I think it's creating, you know, it's the quality of the opportunity, and it's the quality of the offering that is what you are really taking action on, is that the potential lies here to do many, many things in that environment. I think in terms of three classes being out there and wondering how will they all manage and, you know, not interrupt each other, I do not see the activities going on out there as necessarily loud in and of themselves, other than the fact that students would most likely be working in groups on a project or on some portion of an assignment. But because it's an interior courtyard, we would also expect that they're using classroom voices, because windows can be open, you know, around that area as well. So certainly it won't be intended to be a noisy place necessarily. The work that you're doing is academic work. Where there may be performance, I wouldn't see it as being, you know, a one-act play that was being fully performed out there, but probably more of the presentation and even perhaps a presentation by an outside speaker or something in the arena.
I get it. I just, you know, I'm trying to look at it. Times with restricted, constrained resources. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying not spend the money. I'm saying most bang for the buck. You know, as an engineer, I'd love to see upgraded science labs or, you know, new technology in those science classes, you know, where they could use year round versus this
promotion. Any other discussion? Okay, our upcoming meetings of the Board of Education include on May 2nd, 2011, the Board of Education regular meeting and reorganizational meeting, beginning at 7:30 p.m. At the Central Services Office. And on May 16th, 2011, the Board of Education regular meeting at 7:30 p.m. at the Central Services Office. Are there any other matters to be considered by the Board? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who wish to address the Board at this time? Okay, the Board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
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 And we will not be taking action when we return.